And I just want to put that in context, because what happened then was a massive thing. And I want to make a statement that God is all about getting us and the world into heaven. His eternal purposes are to get us into the home that he wants us to be in. And that's just not for those of us who are here tonight who love Jesus, but that's for the whole world. God is all about getting people into heaven. His eternal purpose is to get us into a home with him forever and ever and ever. I don't know about you, but I guess there might be some, maybe Deanne and some others, that are surrounded by people who die. And it can be both positive and negative. And it is no surprise that I'm looking at this passage tonight after being with Gladys this week. But for those of us who know Jesus, our dying is our simple falling asleep into the presence of seeing Jesus face to face. And one thing that I've been reminded of time and time again when I've been in those situations, for when I've been with really strong believers in the faith, I have seen clearly in those last moments as the breath goes from their lips, I have seen on their faces and I've seen from what they have done and what they have said and how they have responded, that I know in those moments that they have seen Jesus. A few years ago, a good friend of ours who lives up in Loughborough, a 15-year-old boy, and he was with his mum and his dad and his sister, and he was dying and he was there, and everybody was around him, and he, just a few moments before he died, he said, "Mum, don't worry, Dad, don't worry, I can see him, it's safe. It's okay, it's time for me to go." And he just put a smile on his face and he just passed away. And so often when we look at this passage of Scripture, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that he's prepared a place for us and to be with him and a place for us to go, that we often refer to this passage to say that, to try and encourage people that there is only, it's only by knowing Jesus that everything will be okay. And if we look at John chapter 15 with me, we see that Jesus is comforting his disciples, and then Jesus turns them to the way, which is the Father. Then Jesus promises the Holy Spirit. So he comforts them first and foremost in verse 1, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." And then in verse 5, Thomas said, "But Lord, we do not know the way to the Father," so he tells them. And then later on in verse 15, it says, "If you love me, keep my commandments," and then you would have the truth of the Spirit in you. But you see, we have to understand, we have to profoundly understand that the business that we are in is the same business that God is in. And if it isn't, then something's gone a bit disconnected along the way. And if God is in the business about getting people into heaven, his eternal purpose is to get us people into his home, then we've got to have that same perspective. And I pray that the church of God has that perspective, because it's only then that we will see people come alive in Christ. And so often we see people whose life is just lost and meaningless. So I want to look at these three things, and I've got my stopwatch on. I'll see if I can beat Elizabeth. I think she'll win. But Jesus is the way, point number one. When Jesus has one of his last conversations with his followers in John 14, he tells them, "Do not let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe in me." He tells them about his Father's house. There's plenty of room for everyone. And Jesus says, "I'm going there and I'm making a way for you to get there too." Then he says, "I'll come back for you. I promise we'll be together. You know the way to get there." And then Thomas says, "But Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how will we know the way?" And Jesus responds by saying, "I am the way." Not one of the ways or the quickest way. Jesus says, "I am going to the Father's house, and if you want to get there, I am the only way home." The only way home. Jesus is sharing the most important, essential truth about a relationship with God in this moment. Don't just read this word in the Bible to fulfill a duty tonight. You read them, the truths in the Bible, to fall deeper in love with Jesus so that we can obey Jesus more, don't we? Amen? Amen. You don't pray so you can get the things you need. You pray because you want to share your heart with your best friend. You don't go to church so you get brownie points towards heaven. You spend time with your family, his family, the church, So you go to church where you can learn about him, learn to serve him, learn to tell other people about him. And you go to church to encourage those who in church are hurting. And you comfort them. You can't just have any keys to your front door. Now, I've got a set of keys here. Now, I don't know. Let me ask you, which is the key to my front door? Just have a go. Yeah, that's wrong. It's not that one. And the reality is, they're not even my keys. They're too heavy. You can't just use any key to get into the front door of your home. You need the right key. Or unless you go to my friend in Switzerland who doesn't have a key. He just puts his thumb on the door. Welcome home, Mr. Jones. And in he walks. That's a true story. It's a true story. In my office at Carshalton Beaches, when we got refurbishment, we had that we put thumbprints on our offices to get in. Well, after about 4 or 5 days, nobody could get into anybody's office. We'd just like, put a key back in the door. Please. But you can't just use any key to get into the front door of your home. You have to use the right key. It requires the right key. And if you want to get to know God the Father, Jesus is the only key that will let this happen. As Jesus clearly states it, no one comes to the Father except through me. As we looked at it a few weeks ago, Jesus said, I am the door. Do you remember that when Stu was here? The only way. I am the only way. I am the only key that will let you into the Father's house. The problem is that this isn't a very popular truth in the masses in our world. Ramakrishna became the Beatles' spiritual guide in the early 70s, so I'm told, because I wasn't born. He taught them this philosophy. One can ascend to the top of a house by means of a ladder, or a bamboo, or a staircase, or a rope. So diverse are the ways to approach God. Sounds nice, doesn't it? But it doesn't offend anyone. All roads lead home to home. It's so much easier to swallow that, isn't it? Than it is to swallow this, which says, I am the way home. No one gets there except through me. You see, Satan is a liar. And as I told my friend just a few weeks ago, I said, all the things that you think you are hearing and somebody is telling you, that is Satan, because they're not the truth of Jesus. See, truth is often easy to recognize because it's hard to follow. Truth is often easy to recognize because it's hard to follow. The broad road is usually packed. Look for the small road with not so many people on it. You'll recognize truth there. See, there's so many philosophies in the world, you know. You can ascend to the top of a house by means of a ladder or bamboo or a staircase or a rope. Meaningless. Pascal, who's a writer, says this, opinion is the queen of the world, but the problem is Jesus is the king of heaven and earth. Opinion is the queen of the world, but the problem is Jesus is the king of heaven and earth. So I want to say to you this. That the first thing I want to say is this. Jesus is the way. He is the only way. And I know that many of you in this place will know that. But it's so easy to be Christians for years and years and years and know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, but do nothing about it. And we'll get to that in a minute at the last point. But also we need to tell our friends and our family that the way is Jesus. In all these philosophies that are out there, the only way to the Father is through Jesus. I was with my neighbor this afternoon. God bless him for helping me. He showed compassion to me, because if not, I would have lectured myself. And I keep telling him about how to know the Father. You need to know Jesus. So Jesus is the way. And we need to not water down that truth. But second point is this, that Jesus is. That's 10 minutes, so I'm totally blown that. I'm only on point number two. That's just. That was pointless, wasn't it? All right, let's put that down there. A second point is this, Jesus is the truth. John Lennon, one of the former Beatles, influenced by the same person, wrote these words in 1971. Can you tell I read a book on holiday about the Beatles? Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us. Above us, only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. Imagine there's no countries. It isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for, no religion to. Imagine all the people living in peace. Imagine no possessions, I wonder if you can. No need for greed or hunger, a brotherhood of man. Imagine all the people sharing all the world. You say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us and the world will live as one. It's an amazing song. It's a beautiful melody, but it's a utopia hope. No absolutes, no heaven, no hell, no religion. Everyone united. We'll all just live as one. No real truth, just truth as you dream it, or to be or feel as it should be. You see, that's the problem. That's the problem. Jesus is the truth. He is the way, but he's also the truth. You see, in that song, as beautiful as it is, there's no heaven, there's no hell, there's no religion, everyone's united. We just live as one, no real truth, just truth as you dream it or how you feel it. Reality check, that's not what it's not what I believe from this word, and I hope it's not what you believe too. And if you do believe all that, come and talk to me. We need to have a serious conversation. There's a problem. Let me say this. What if I felt like hitting you on the back of the head with a shovel? You wouldn't feel that's wrong. You would. Let me start again. You would feel that's wrong, wouldn't you? Understandably, sorry. But I felt like doing it. If there's no absolute standard, then my way is just as valid as yours. But you said, listen, you can't hurt others. And I say, oh, really? Why? Because hurting others is wrong. Oh, really? Well, if there's no absolute standards and no absolute truths, I can do what I want and you do what you want. That's a bit of the world that we live in. I was building this week. Alan Corwell, don't laugh your head off, or Mark Hooper, because you guys know my building skills. I was building a frame to hang a door the other day, and while I was doing it, I got a square. Are you impressed? I am. And a level. And it's important to measure twice and cut once. Is that not right? Things needed to line up. If you go just off what you think 45 degrees is and don't get the right measure and the right lining, you're going to make a big hash up of it. You'd be glad to know that I got it right. I was very proud of myself. It took me 43 years. If you want to build a life that will last forever, this is a bit cheesy, but Jesus is the only square or level that will align you to the truth. If you want to build a life that will last forever, Jesus is the only square or level that will align you to the truth. You see, Jesus is the truth. I am the way. There is no other way. Bamboo or ladder, what a craziness. And he is the truth. And why am I saying that? I'm saying that because it says it in here. The Apostle Peter understands this truth about Jesus, and he wrote that in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4-9. Read it when you get home. But it says, when we come to Christ, he is the perfect cornerstone. Our lives are laid on him. Our lives are put in line perfectly, guided by his truth, rejected by many, but precious to those who believe, and that will never be put to shame. Jesus becomes the square and the level, the truth, his word. Not our feelings, not our opinions, not the cultural standards, but just Jesus and his word. But so often we are just twisted and turned about because of our feelings and our opinions and the cultural standards. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. End of story. But so often those other things can get in the way. But let me come into end with these final words. You see, Jesus says, from the statements of where Jesus says, I am, when we discover that Jesus is the way of salvation and he's the way of the truth, what does that do? It sets us free that we can then have a new life. See, Jesus is the way. He's the only way. And I know that. And I pray that people that I love will know that one day so that their security is secure and their hope is certain. Jesus is the truth. Why is he the truth? Because his word tells me that he's the truth. And I've seen him and acknowledged his truth in many circumstances in my life. But so if we know that Jesus is the way of salvation and he is the truth that sets us free, then we have a brand new life. It leads me on to my third and final point. Jesus is the life. Jesus is the life. It is impossible to die to our old self of sin and be resurrected to the same attitude and the same mindset and the same heart that we had before if Jesus is fully the life. You see, we can't just come to faith in Jesus and just be who we used to be, because we're no longer ours, but Jesus is living within us by his Spirit. You see, Jesus is the way, the truth, but he's life. He is the life. And because he is the life, he wants us to live according to that life that he abundantly gives to us every day. Stop the grumbling, stop the moaning, stop the attitude, stop the thinking we're better than anybody else, but just live in the life of the truth of Jesus and allow that to change our life forever. Let me ask you, what compels you? What drives you to get up in the morning? Well, this morning Elizabeth kind of rolls out of bed. But what compels you? What drives you? What gets you up in the morning? Surely it is the new life that we have in Jesus. You know, because no matter what people or circumstances or the world can throw at us, we've already started eternal life. We just happen to do it on earth. Eternal life's already started. We always talk about eternal life as something to come. Well, let me tell you, eternal life's now. I had this big debate with Jonathan. Jonathan's big thing at college was resurrection and eternal life now. He's going to talk about it after Christmas. But actually, eternal life's now. It's not something that we're going to go to. We live in that now because we're free now, because Jesus is life now. And no matter what people throw at us, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Well, unfortunately, the church are really good at breaking each other, but we need to live in the life that is Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 to 15, it says, I ask this because if you believe like Paul, that once died for all, therefore all, we die. And because we die, we no longer live to ourselves, but we have new life in Christ and we are raised in Christ. You see, we have life and life in Jesus that nobody can take away from us. And where does that life come from? That life comes from his love. It's the love of Christ that compels us, or it should be the love of Christ and the life of Christ that compels us, motivates us, and drives us. The old is gone and the new has come. And are you compelled by the life that Jesus has given you? Are you motivated by the life that Jesus has given you? Are you driven by the life that Jesus has given you? Or are you just motivated by the other things in your world that are not the things that God wants you to do? Are you driven by wealth and money and all those other distractions? Or are you allowing the love of God to compel you, to motivate you, to drive you, for you to be the person that God has called you to be? Now, don't get me wrong. It's really good that we've all got lots of different professions and jobs, and that's a means to earn money, to have houses and stuff, and our jobs are really important, but we've got to make sure that in those jobs, we are the people that God has called us to be, demonstrating the life that Jesus is living within us. I spoke to one of my good friends who was in my church in Cusco. He used to always call me, in Peru, they always called you pastor. They never called you by your first name. Some people do here in church, but, you know. So I remember one person, Luis, his name was. I went to see him in a hotel in the Marriott, and he called me Scott. Oh, that's a bit odd. First time he ever called me Scott. So I left it, and then I went to visit again, and he called me Scott. And then I went again, and he called me Scott. Now, I don't have a problem with people calling me Scott, don't get me wrong, but it was just so odd in that culture. And about 6 or 7 months later, I said to him, Luis, why do you call me Scott in the hotel? He said, Pastor, No importa, I'm thinking Spanish now. It's not important. I said, it is important. He says, it's not. I said, it is. Why? And I pushed him and I pushed him and I pushed him like pastors can in that country. You can push people a bit more spiritually than you can here sometimes. And I said to him, look, what happened? And he said, Pastor, the reality is this. That I come to church on Sunday. I'm one of the leaders of the church. I play guitar and I lead God's people, but not a single soul in the Marriott knows I'm a Christian. That's why I called you Scott, because I didn't want them to know that you're my pastor. Now, I could have gone, ah! I didn't. I wept. I thought, how sad. How sad. And then we spent the next 6 or 7 months helping him to have the courage to tell people in that place of work why he was who he was and what life he had received from Jesus. Because everybody in that workplace knew that he had a different life, but he didn't have the courage to tell them where that life came from. He's still my friend, by the way. But see, Jesus is the way, the truth, but he's also the life. His life should compel us, motivate us, and drive us. The old is gone and the new has come. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says this, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who has loved me and gave me himself for me. Jesus doesn't become part of our life. He's not the passenger in the car. He becomes our life. He drives us. And the reality is this, that for many of us, we know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, but we've never let him drive our life. We've been the passenger along the journey, but when you let him drive your life, then he'll take you to places that you never thought you could go to, and he'll ask you to do things that you never thought you'd be able to do, and you'll see a totally different side of God. And I hope he doesn't mind me saying this, and if he does, he'll tell me off later, but I'm so excited that Jack Hooper's going to Mozambique. I'm excited for several reasons. First is I'm excited because I have a big heart for mission, and Jack and Rebecca don't know this, but ever since they were both born, I've always been praying that they would go on mission. So God's answered my prayer there. Rebecca, hopefully God will answer that too. But the thing is this. And the other reason I'm excited, not just for... I'm excited because I've known Jack since he was this big. But I'm excited because I know that God will have to be the driver of his life, because he's going to ask him to do things that he's never done before. He's going to ask him to step out in ways that he's never done before. And he's going to see God in a way that he's never seen God before. And he's going to come back to hope. This morning I sat here as I walked in, a little brown on her phone. But then when I distracted her off the phone, I sat down and I spoke to her. Every conversation I have with Olivia Brown now is different than it ever was before. Why? Because she's put Jesus in the center of her life and she's let Jesus drive her to do things that she's never done before, because she's fully allowed Jesus to be the life. And she's no longer a spectator in the kingdom of God. Unfortunately, in all churches, ours included, there's lots of people that are spectators and don't allow Jesus to be the life. Let me finish with this. When repentance follows by death and the resurrection of Christ comes, we are amazingly filled, abundantly blessed, and clearly Jesus's. Whenever you are greedy like Zacchaeus, or violent and angry like Saul of Tarsus, or beaten down by life and used up like the Samaritan woman at the well, if you want to become a new creation in Christ, know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Let's pray. Thanks, guys. Sorry, that was 18 and a half minutes if you wanted to know.